everyone. Today we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 19, 21 to 25, but let's just pray first. Father God, give thanks for this morning. It's so good to start our day, to meet with you, to just center ourselves in your will, in your presence, in what you want for us, Lord. And we know we can't do this our own ways, Lord. So, Lord, would you speak to us today through your word, through Proverbs? Would you help us to glean your wisdom? And give us revelation, Lord, and understanding and how to apply this wisdom. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to read from Proverbs, starting at verse 21 all the way to 25. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. Strike a scoffer, and the naive may become shrewd, but reprove one who has understanding, and he will gain knowledge. Amen. Okay. So starting at verse 21, many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. So man, us, we have many plans. We should have many plans. That's just a fact. However, some of our plans can be foolish. In other words, we can have our own plans, but we just don't know. Right? What's far better than our plans is God's plans, because God will bless it. Right? God's going to bless his plans that he has for you. And also, one of the things that God has that we don't is foresight. Right? He knows what's going to happen. So he has control. He's not just, usually our good plans is based on what we think is good probability. There's good chance, based on my, research, my understanding, sounds pretty good. But God's plans is not just based on probability. And so we should always seek God's plans. Always seek his will first. And how this interaction kind of works, and notice it doesn't say, the plans of a man's heart are evil. It doesn't say that. It says the plans of man are many. So all to say, we shouldn't go too far extreme, the other, in the direction, and go, okay, I don't have any plans. All I have is God's plans. And oftentimes I hear that as a pastor. I go, oh, hey, what are your plans? What do you want? And they say, I don't want anything. I have no plans. What kind of job do you want to pursue? What are your interests? I have no interests. My interests are whatever are God's interests. Sounds very spiritual, but it's actually not true. I mean, based on Proverbs, we have many plans. And it's true, we have many desires. Sometimes you might not know the plans, but you have those desires, which is oftentimes, I know what I don't want, right? But to know what I want, sometimes we're not so good at embracing those because we're scared of disappointment. But actually, being able to know what your many plans are, it's important because it's there. And the interaction that we have with this statement, our plans and God's plans, is we're aware of our plans, but we're also aware of our limitations with these plans. And so, when we're aware of these plans, we surrender it. and we seek after God's will, and we embrace his plans. So we're aware, and this is the relationship with God. We're aware of our plans, we surrender it, submit it, and then we seek after God's will. And oftentimes, some of those plans that are yours also align with God's, right? Sometimes those desires that you have, maybe God put them in you. But even if he puts them in you, he still wants you to submit it to him because he wants to do it with you and through you. And so the counsel of the Lord would stand. God's ways are blessed. God's ways are better. So we should seek after his will first. Verse 22, what is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than a liar. Kindness. It's something we all really enjoy receiving, right? And we know that kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. If you ask anybody, hey, sometimes I come across some sort of like dating show or on YouTube, and they ask, what do you want in a man? What do you want in a woman? And the thing that always comes up is, I want someone who's kind. In other words, someone who is considerate with their words, someone who treats me well and is kind. We all desire that quality. Now, I think inherently that might not be the quality that you want to exhibit, maybe for some people. Because kindness might seem like a weakness, right? Like where, oh, if I'm kind, it means I'm a pushover. It means I'm weak. And so it might seem like kindness is not a virtue that you want to go after. But it is, because kindness is not necessarily just like everyone else gets what they want and you don't get what you want, or you have to just roll over. Because it goes on to say, in the same verse, associated with kindness, is it is better to be a poor man than a liar. Now, why is this phrase associated, same verse, with kindness? Because I think what happens is, what people often associate with kindness is maybe not telling the full truth. Right? Like, we don't want to tell the full truth because we don't want to upset somebody. We don't want to tell the full truth because we want to spare them of the harshness of the truth. We don't want to tell the full truth, and so we sugarcoat it so that we don't upset people. But that is not complete kindness, right? Kindness must also have complete honesty. And so we need, along with kindness, to tell the truth, always, even if it's hard to take. Even if it's a rebuke. Now, I think how you do it kindly is how you go about doing it. And so recently we had a house church leaders meeting, and we posed a question for the house church leaders to think about. It was a difficult question, a very realistic question. The question was, one of your house church members, you find out they're traveling, going on a trip with their boyfriend or girlfriend. What do you do? I didn't even know if this was going to be that difficult of a question. Turns out it's a very difficult scenario for house church leaders. And I think it really goes back to this, right? Is we want to be kind. We don't want to make people uncomfortable. We don't want to impose. But is letting people positioning, put themselves in a situation that's not good for them, could lead to sin because we don't want to upset them. Is that really kindness? No. And so when we are kind, we also have to be truthful. Verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. It says, also, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so what does that mean when it says the fear of the Lord leads to life? Fear of the Lord, one way of understanding is you have fear if you don't embrace God's will. And if you do embrace God's will, you have such a trust in God. That's kind of like what it's like when you're a child and you have parents and they're perfect. They're very fearful of not doing stuff or not depending on you. Of course, we have to raise them so that they become independent, but there's that sense like, oh, it's only safe if I do it with daddy or mommy, but I'm coming from mine. Even like so dependent, it's like my daughter wants to get a cup of water. I'm like, oh yeah, you can ask the waiter. It's like, no, can you ask for me? So dependent on me. Because she knows I can do it. And so this is kind of like also the fear of the Lord. You're so dependent on God. And so what happens? You seek after his will first. Because you trust that if you accomplish his will in his ways, it's going to work out. And so it leads to life. Now, the second part of verse 23 says, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. NIV says, then one rests content, untouched by trouble. ESV says, and whoever has it rests satisfied, he will not be visited by harm. How many of us want to have sleep so satisfied? Right? There's nothing worse than having bad sleep where you can't sleep or you keep on waking up and then you wake up and you're so tired. And it seems, it says, that maybe part of the reason for a lot of us, the reason we can't sleep is, I mean, I'm doing the inverse connection, which is because you are touched by evil. And so if you're not living under the fear of the Lord, or you have the fear of the Lord, but you're not living according to it, then yes, your life is going to be full of stress, anxiety, uncertainty. And so that's going to get into your mind and the evil. The enemy is going to use that and try to make it even bigger, isolate you, make it seem like it's worse than it is. And so, yes, it will affect your sleep. It will affect your sleep. And so we want to live and lead and live according to the fear of the Lord and let it lead our lives. Verse 24, it says, The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. It's kind of a funny picture. And so the picture is, it's a sluggard, I guess, the insect? Is it insect? Maybe it's not insect. You think of it as a slug. Right, so slow, and when we say someone's a slug, they're so lazy. So it's kind of like the lazy person, this is the picture. They're so lazy, is he puts his hand in the bowl to eat, but he's so lazy that he just leaves it there. He's so lazy, he can't even bring his hand to his mouth to eat. Something that's necessary, something that's desirable and essential. He can't even make himself, that's how lazy he is. Extreme laziness. And so I guess the comparison would be, it's somebody, This picture is to describe somebody who starts something but doesn't finish. Right? You start a project, you procrastinate, you know it's important. And this is not to condemn. This is probably all of us, right? Certain things we're supposed to do, you maybe start, but you don't finish. And so that's not good. And it says, there's actually a proverb that also says, the lazy man will go hungry. Not good. Verse 25, strike a scoffer and the naive may become shrewd, but reprove one who has understanding and he will gain knowledge. Strike a scoffer. What is a scoffer? A scoffer is a proud person, someone who is arrogant, who doesn't listen. I guess someone, and I guess we're talking in Proverbs, we're talking a lot about wisdom, right? So it'd be someone opposite, anti-wisdom. Doesn't learn, just so stuck in his ways. And it says, strike a scoffer, and the naive may become shrewd. And so there's different ways that we can learn, right? You strike a scoffer, in other words, you rebuke someone who's doing wrong. And you might think sometimes, oh, what's the point? What's the point of rebuking or speaking into the life of somebody who doesn't really listen? But I guess one of the justifications is other people can learn from it. And so it says that naive may become shrewd. That's one of the ways that we gain wisdom and shrewdness, is we observe it. There's different ways you can do it. You can gain wisdom, right? You can learn from just reading it. You can learn from observing it in others and experiencing it yourself. And so someone who's a scoffer doesn't do any of those things. And you see this oftentimes, especially among, I hear, from siblings. Actually, I think Janie, my wife, kind of shared, like, her older brother, like, he was kind of rebellious. He made decisions that didn't really make sense, and she observed that. And so she always thought, why would I do that? If I do what my brother did, I mean, not now, as teenagers, right? If I do what my brother does, it's gonna lead to this. So why would I do that? And so I marvel at Janie's upbringing, in the sense she was such a good girl. She just basically, like, studied hard, didn't take school for granted, like, took care, did all the things that you're supposed to do, never was interested in, like, getting drunk or doing drugs, or it just, to her, it was like, why would I? This is the result, right? So that's one of the ways. And then it says, but reprove one who has understanding, and he will gain knowledge. Earlier in this same Proverbs, it says, I'm paraphrasing, something to the effect of someone who is open to reproval will gain knowledge and grow. Here it says, if you reprove someone, then they will gain knowledge and grow. And so this interaction is basically discipleship, right? Someone who is open to learning and receiving reproval, and someone who is willing to speak into your life with reproval, this interaction is discipleship, discipline. And that's something that we, as leaders, we need to be willing to do. Because no one enjoys reproving, right? I don't want to talk to you about, you know, why you're traveling with your boyfriend and girlfriend and get into the details of, you know, is it just you two? Are you sharing a room together? Have you ever done any funny business together? Is this a first? I don't want to have that conversation, right? But it's necessary, because if I don't, then you're just gonna keep doing what you're doing. You're not gonna learn, and basically also, or you might learn from the mistakes you make, right? But another way to learn is through the leader, whoever cares for you, and hopefully also shares all this in kindness. And so if you really care about someone, and this is kind of like, I guess, especially, it doesn't have to be a parent, anybody. If you really care about, if you see someone going off into the wrong path, and you really care, yeah, you would be willing to, you know, be a little uncomfortable, even if they get a little upset at you, to speak that truth in their life. Amen. Let's worship. I'll just read this short, these five verses again. And, you know, whatever the Lord is impressing on your heart, you can just pray about it. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. Strike a scoffer, and the naive may become shrewd, but reprove one who has understanding, and he will gain knowledge. Thanks, Grace. Let's come to the front. Let's come together to pray corporately.